Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We are the morning shift. Mike's here. Bo's here. I'm here. I'm Allie Mack. And Dylan is behind the glass. So you want to know one more pressure point every single day?
Yeah.
Every day.
Okay.
I cannot figure out, and I know I've brought it up on the show before, driving into Colony Square, that fog,
the fog,
man.
It was bad this morning. It was so bad. I thought I was going to take my side mirror off.
Do you want to know the trick?
I don't think there is one.
I've tried everything.
I think I've figured it out. Windows down.
But when you pull in or before you pull in?
Before you pull in.
Okay.
And then as soon as you pull in, turn your air conditioner on. Full blast.
Well, mine's usually on full blast anyways.
Yeah. So you have to turn the air conditioning off before you put your windows?
Well, no, I don't run my air conditioner in the morning.
What?
Yeah. I had the sliding back. I hope I closed it today. I had the sliding back glass. And so I open it and I crack the window on the passenger side. And so I just get the breeze and I have, you know, the air flowing in.
Man, that's making me sleepy just thinking about it.
No, it keeps me awake.
No, I need the air conditioning to wake me up.
Yeah, same. Like blast me in the face of the Arctic air.
Yes.
I'm starting to, Mike was like, how much caffeine have you drank today? Cause I've got energy and I'm like, not really as much as normal. Like I'm less today than normal. Cause I didn't wake up early. I started eating more food, and I feel so much better.
You have more energy.
Turns out food gives you energy.
Yeah. It's really just more protein, but it's not like, you know, healthy protein. I mean, it's like pork and, pork is not as fat as people think. Pretty lean if you just eat the right parts.
Well, one day I'm going to figure out the Colony Square mystery of driving
in. Air conditioner.
Because I'm tired of, and then you got to park and make sure you turn your windshield wipers off. And it's a whole thing.
Yeah, because if not, they come on, they're dry.
Exactly.
It's that bad noise. You're like, and it scares you. You're like, oh, what was that? Oh, windshield wipers.
Oh, windshield wipers are still on. Oh, my lights are still on, too. Earlier in the show, we were talking about the quarterbacks the Falcons are going to be facing. And Mike and Bo, you guys listed off your top five. Let's run through those again, because you guys were pretty similar in your listings.
We should almost do our honorable mention.
Well, I was going to say, let's list off the ones we did have, and I think our top six, which is top five in honorable mention, but then we can go through the ones we didn't have and kind of list off kind of who I left off, because there is, and you brought up Justin Fields, there's the Drake Mays of the world, there's other quality quarterbacks I just wasn't quite ready to put at the tier of being top five or honorable mention. So,
well, they're the ones that you think about when you're when you turn the page to the next team, you're thinking about Matthew Stafford, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, give us your list.
Okay, so my list from top to bottom was Tua Tonga. Now I'm having trouble remembering it because I turned the page. Tua Tagovailoa, and then I went Brock Purdy, and then I went Baker Mayfield, then Matthew Stafford, then Jaden Daniels, and Josh Allen was my number one. You had the same six, just in a different order.
Yeah, I had Brock Purdy six. 2 of 5, Stafford 4, Baker 3, because there's a couple of caveats with the Baker, including the fact you play him twice. Jaden Daniels 2, and I think it's just silly if anyone says the quarterbacks you're most worried about and they don't put the reigning MVP in Josh Allen, a guy who could have had multiple MVPs, just like Lamar Jackson has them. Lamar Jackson could have 3, Josh Allen could have 2 or 3 as well. If only they didn't play at the same time in their careers. You know, and then Patrick Mahomes, who they don't play this year, could have multiple ones as well.
I think that when you look at Josh Allen, the fact that last year his touchdown to interception ratio went way up. Like his interceptions, I believe, last year were like cut in half from what they were the year prior. And that's also losing his top two wide receivers in Diggs, and I believe it was Gabe Davis from 2023. And you know, they kind of remade that receiving core to the point where I got jealous for a minute that Mac Hollins was on their team. Like that's what Josh Allen does for you. That's what Josh Allen does for you. I was like, oh man, look at Mac Hollins just having a day, a couple explosive plays. I'm like, dude,
well,
yes,
I think they reinvented their offense a little bit. Once they moved on from, Ken Dorsey, they got, Joe Brady. I knew it was Joe. I wanted to call him Joe Cook. And I was going to say, because James Cook,
it was
so good. Dalvin Cook's little brother was so good for them last year in a running game that it took pressure off of Josh at times because you were in a lot more second and fives, right?
Yeah.
But Josh Allen he had 102 rushes last year for 531 yards, 12 touchdowns, by the way.
Dang. Insane.
52 of his rushes of the times he carried the ball resulted in first downs, and then you add another 12 for touchdowns. 64 times he moved the chains or put points on the board when he carried the football. That is a 64 of 102. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you mentioned the fact that we're not matched up with Patrick Mahomes this year, also not matched up with Jalen Hurts, although he did win that game last year. I don't think Jalen Hurts in week two was doing what he was at the end of the year, obviously, when he won the Super Bowl. But yeah, I remember, and Dylan was at the Brazil game. He did not play very well. He's coming to the Falcons game, didn't play extremely well. His over-under this year for touchdowns, have you seen this on the books? His over-under this year for touchdowns is 12.5. 12.5 for Jalen Hurts as far as the outlook on Vegas. So, yeah, I mean, look, when you go through the top five, top six list, and you get back to the fact that we had those top six, there does seem to be a second tier. I struggled with Sam Darnold. Like, what is Sam Darnold?
That one's one for me, too, because I just think that he was a product of a system last year, and you saw when you put pressure on him, he panicked. He doesn't have the guys to throw to. He has Jackson Smith and Jigba, but he doesn't have – what? Who's the other weapon there?
Yeah, and look, DK's not there. There's a ton of different questions about that. He's too close to the bad version of Sam Darnold, because we both included Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield has turned a corner in his career where the last 2 years he's been elite as far as the things he's been able to do. Sam Darnold, with another good year in a different system, I could start lumping him into that, because I think they're very similar when you talk about number one draft picks and things like that. Sam Darnold's just still close to the bad. He's still too close to the bad version. Like, one more year in Seattle of Sam Darnold being good, I'll be like, okay, and I can start looking at him in that tier.
I forget that they did go sign Cooper Kupp, but are you going to get a healthy Cooper Kupp?
I almost forgot about that, too.
Yeah, now I had to go back and look. And Noah Fant's not by himself. So they got some guys, but I just don't know what – they got a two-headed monster in Walker and Zach Charbonnet. But I'm just not – but, again, health – but I'm really not sure what version of Cooper Kupp you get. And Marcus Valdes-Scantling is what he is. He's a three. I mean, I just go back to how inept he looked in that last game of the year, in that playoff game, and they got pressure against him.
Do you remember who they signed as their offensive coordinator? Because that's one of the more intriguing things to me about the Sam Darnold conversation. They signed Clint Kubiak.
Yeah.
Who was in New Orleans last year as their offensive coordinator. They got rid of Ryan Grubb, who's now in Tuscaloosa with his old friend Kalen DeBoer. So, I don't know. I'll be curious. Like I said, he could come out and light the world on fire. It's just one of those things where he's just still too close, where I'm still not far enough removed from the bad version of Sam Darnold to try to look past it.
The blueprint was put back out on how to beat him again after 16 weeks of not. It was put back out. Whether everybody can take advantage of that, I don't know. But I think we could have the pass rush, too.
Do you – and this is my final part of this conversation, because we kind of broke into Drake May is just not there yet. You don't know what you're getting here from Drake May. Do you think that when other teams are looking at the Atlanta Falcons, that they think the same way about Michael Penix that we do about Drake May? Do you think that he's in that same category? I tend to think that way as well.
Yes, and here's why. Because they're like three games – okay, you play two of those games were against the Giants and the Panthers.
Yeah.
So those defenses weren't great. Yes, you played good against Washington, but they were more of an offensive-led team when you look down at it, when it all comes together. So that's one thing. Then they're going to look at throws that he did miss, some of his timing routes that he did miss, some of, you know, there was some accuracy stuff. So I think they are. I think there's no reason why you can't be pessimistic about what he can be. Now, what I see is a guy that took over in the middle of the season and took command, has a hand cannon attached to his left shoulder, and led a team and that was trying to scrap for a playoff thing. And honestly, if you could have got some defense, would have made the playoffs, I think, with him. So there's glass half full, and those teams can look at it glass half empty. I can see both sides.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see where that all kind of pans out in that hierarchy.
And if you do want to see Mike and Bo's picks for the quarterbacks that they're most worried about that the Falcons will face this season, you can see that on Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. Just a reminder, though, this conversation is happening because Falcons training camp is coming from July 24th through August 13th. Sports Radio 929 The Game will bring you exclusive on-site coverage of Falcons training camp. We're going to be out there, the Steakhouse, Andy and Randy broadcasting live from Flowery Branch as well. And when practice wraps up, you can also join Dukes and Bell at Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. Coverage is brought to you by your North Georgia Honda dealers and by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party. Live coverage of Falcons training camp starts July 24th on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, Porzingis stopped by the midday show yesterday, and there was one really great moment where he explained how he found out he's a Hawk now. We'll cover that, and we've got a life of Squid.
Babe Ruth and Livy Dunn. Bet you didn't expect to hear them in a story. Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and
the Odyssey app.